Dr. Mark Bell is an assistant professor of political science at the University of North Dakota. His research examines issues relating to nuclear weapons, proliferation, in international relations theory, and U.S. and British foreign policy. Obviously, all of that in many ways affects what's going on in Afghanistan. And so we wanted Dr. Bell to come on and just be able to have a conversation about this. And then let the phone lines just blow up. Dr. Bell, good to have you on News and Views, sir.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Want to talk to you a little bit, if we can, about, you know, all the things that are going on today. Because obviously there's a timeline. We can go back and we can look at what led up to it. But how do you see where we're at today versus where we're at, you know, 2, 3, 4 days ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's now become clear that the level of threat facing U.S. military personnel as they're conducting these withdrawals is very high. We're obviously getting very close now to the August 31st deadline for the full withdrawal to take place. So I think at this point it's just a matter of getting as many people out as the U.S. military can, and then wrapping up and leaving.
Well, and one of the things that everybody points to is how did we get in a position where we're by the time between now and when we pull out on the deadline, isn't it in the Taliban's best interest for us to leave? Wouldn't they and shouldn't they facilitate this? How do we get into a position where you're right? We're sitting here with a way deeper threat. What's going on that makes them want to fight whether or not we leave?
Yeah, well, I think actually it's not the Taliban, right? I mean, in this case, in the most recent case of the attack, it was this ISIS-K attack within Afghanistan. ISIS-K is primarily a rival of the Taliban. And actually, there was some reporting that the Taliban had actually provided the U.S. military with notification and intelligence that this attack might take place. So there's actually a lot of kind of complicated dynamics on the ground within Afghanistan, because as you say, for the Taliban, they want the United States out, right? And so there's actually a certain, and the United States, you know, wants to get out. So there's actually in a sort of weird way, this kind of slight commonality of interest between the Taliban and the United States. And frankly, the Taliban is also, you know, not that upset for the United States to be taking out a bunch of, you know, people who would otherwise be adversaries of the Taliban within Afghanistan. So there is this some degree of commonality of interest. I think the attack that we saw the other day was driven primarily by a non-Taliban organization, right? ISIS-K, who actually is an adversary of the Taliban within Afghanistan for the most part.
So it begs a question: has the Taliban, who swiftly, very quickly took over the country, have they kept their word on what they said they were going to do if America withdrew from Afghanistan, vis-a-vis the agreement that President Trump negotiated with them?
I think they've sort of upheld it to the extent I would have expected them to uphold it, and sort of to the extent that the United States upheld their side of the deal, which is, you know, in broad kind of brushstrokes, they've upheld, you know, the kind of key components of the deal. But at the end of the day, the United States has lost this war. The Taliban has won it. And so you were always going to end up in a situation where ultimately the Taliban took control of the country. And the sort of ugly truth is that there's no sort of clean or sort of pleasant way for that process to happen. And I think, you know, a lot of the sort of pushback that the Biden administration is getting and the flak that the Biden administration is getting is sort of the inevitable consequence of what was always going to be a very sort of ugly, messy process. There just isn't a way to disentangle the United States from a war that ultimately, at the end of the day, it has lost in a kind of clean way with no casualties. It's just not possible.
So you say a war that was lost, and that always kind of sends a shiver up my spine as an American and a citizen of the United States. It seems to me that the definition of what the goal of the war was changed. And you, as somebody who understands the subject matter better than I, you know, is the very reason that we got into Afghanistan as the United States, was it to make sure that the Afghan people had their own army and had a democracy? Because my remembrance of Afghanistan in the beginning 20 years ago was that the U.S. involvement was that it was a haven for terrorism and we're after Osama bin Laden.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, from my perspective, this war was lost the day that the United States and allies, I mean, I'm British and Britain was a full part of this as well. This war was lost the day the United States and its allies decided to try and turn this from a purely counterterrorism operation into a nation-building operation. At that point, that was just always an extraordinarily ambitious goal. The United States and its allies simply didn't have the expertise to do it, didn't really, never really understood what that process would involve. And they understandably failed as a result. It just wasn't something that was in their capacity to do. And unfortunately, since that point, the situation in Afghanistan has basically been a giant Ponzi scheme that successive administrations, both Republican and Democrats, have sort of propped up, funneled money into, funneled American lives into. And you know, I give the Biden administration credit for saying enough is enough. This is over, and it's not worth further sacrifice of U.S. lives and treasure and is getting out. But ultimately, this is, you know, like any Ponzi scheme, right? It only collapses right at the end. But it's been the entire enterprise has been essentially a broken one for well over close to 20 years at this point.
I asked you earlier whether or not you believe that the Taliban have been adhering to agreements that they set up. And you said in so much as what the U.S. has. When you look back at the release of 5,000 prisoners by the Trump administration, when you look at the release or, the acceptance of some of what they were doing at that time, and yet we still move forward with reducing our troops, I mean, we clearly were sending messages before the Biden administration that we were pulling out of and okay with the Taliban being in charge of Afghanistan, or at least that's my read on it. And I want to see what your take is.
No, absolutely. I mean, everyone, and as I say, this is sort of the ugly truth of the situation, right? Everyone knew, and this was true in the Trump administration, but it was also, frankly, true in the Obama administration and the George W. Bush administration, that if the United States withdrew, that the Afghan National Army did not have the capacity, did not have the inclination, and did not have the legitimacy to hold the country, basically, and to exert the influence of a central government from Kabul that lacked legitimacy and was deeply corrupt. So everyone has known that when the United States pulled out, the likely consequence would be a Taliban takeover. Now, people didn't know whether that would be, a week after pulling out, 6 months after pulling out, a year after pulling out. But most people sort of understood, who sort of followed the issue, that when the point came when the United States would pull out, that the Taliban would take over. And this was exactly the reason why successive administrations were not willing to do that, because they didn't want to pay the political price of having that happen sort of on their watch. The Trump administration also understood that, so they sort of waited until they were heading out the door before signing that agreement. But they fully understood that this was what would happen. And the Biden administration also understands it, but unlike previous administrations, the Biden administration has been willing to say, and again, I sort of give them credit for this, to say enough is enough. We're going to pay that price. We're going to have this happen because we don't think it's worth, and we don't want to pass it on to yet another administration.
So, did you, or is that the big surprise, though, of the whole thing that the Biden administration hadn't calculated was how quickly the Afghan army would cave, how quickly the Taliban would be on the doorstep controlling the country?
Yeah, I think it's very hard to, you know, I mean, I don't have access to the sort of classified intelligence briefings. I mean, I think everyone, my sense is that everyone sort of knew this was a possibility, but expected it to, and certainly expected it to happen, but on a sort of timeline of months rather than days and weeks. But at the end of the day, it's sort of, you know, in some ways you can see why it would happen, right? If you're a member of the Afghan National Army and you're told, well, you can either sort of fight for 6 months and then, you know, just delay the inevitable, or you can just give up and you might survive. Well, I mean, if I was a member of the Afghan National Army, I'd be pretty tempted to just give up, hand my weapons over and say, okay, I quit. So, you know, in some ways it's not surprising. I think also, you know, the U.S., you don't want to sort of project the inevitability of what's going to happen until it's actually happening, right? You want to sort of project confidence. You want to, you don't want to cause panic. That's going to, you know, make the situation even worse. And so, you know, I understand why the Biden administration was sort of trying to project a certain amount of confidence that this would happen. I suspect in private they actually knew a lot more and were preparing a lot more for a quick collapse. And of course, a lot of this, you know, the reason why this has ended up being kind of panicked in the last few weeks is that the Trump administration did, you know, all these special immigrant visas that are going to help get Afghans who help the United States government, help the Afghan National Army out of the country. The Trump administration, because of their sort of positions on immigration, had refused to sort of process those or to move those forward in a timely manner. So that sort of has led to a kind of backlog that has also led to this kind of crunch that has happened right now.
Now, Dr. Bell, one or two more questions. Can you hang with me, sir? Can you give me a little more time?
Absolutely.
Dr. Bell was good enough to hang in there for us a little bit and get a chance to visit with him. Dr. Bell, is it your belief that this could have went better, that we would have been able to, you know, evacuate from Afghanistan had we kept more troops in?
Basically, no. I mean, I think... you know, I mean, there's a lot. It's easy to sort of, you know, kind of Monday morning quarterback the situation. But I think at the end of the day, frankly, I've been remarkably impressed by how many, the sheer number of people the United States military has managed to get out. I think is a remarkable testament to their skills and abilities. I think it's actually a kind of staggering achievement given how quickly things sort of collapsed within the country. But at the end of the day, you know, my view is. I'm sure, like with perfect hindsight, they would have done a couple of things differently. But at the end of the day, I think this was always going to be a much messier, much more chaotic sort of operation to try to undertake. I think there was no way to do this in a kind of smooth, clean way. And at some point, you know, as you're bringing numbers of troops down, you know, you're going to get to low numbers, and at that point. It's just a very difficult thing to do. And I think actually the number of people the United States military has managed to evacuate, the number of Americans, the number of Afghans, is actually an extraordinary achievement in a lot of ways.
The placement of the evacuees and the people that are being evacuated, the Taliban are saying that America is taking away the best and the brightest. Is there any truth to that? Is there any proof? Is there any way of knowing that, you know, the people that we're taking out of Afghanistan are people that as a society that they absolutely need?
I'm sure that I suspect that probably is the case, right? And then the U.S. is going to be taking a lot of folks who are among the sort of more educated, those who have helped to build the Afghanistan that the Taliban is likely now to begin to sort of dismantle, and that's a tragedy for Afghanistan, and it is often the case in these kind of war environments that this is the sort of thing that happens.
What happens to those individuals? Because there are going to be some that we're not able to get out. as a country, that we're sitting there and, you know, that's going to be the next story in the media. What happens to those individuals?
Yeah, I mean, the sad truth is that those individuals will suffer. The Taliban is very likely to conduct reprisals against many of those people. The future for women, girls in Afghanistan is not great for ethnic minorities, sexual minorities, you know, vulnerable people of all sorts. I think are going to have a, you know, it's going to be a pretty grim situation in Afghanistan moving forward. But of course, that is also the case in a lot of other countries, you know, and in a lot of countries that, you know, the United States has friendly relations with. You know, it's not much fun being a woman in Saudi Arabia either, and they're an ally of the United States. So, you know, I think we have to sort of, you know, the sort of ugly truth of international politics is that it's, you know, even for a country as powerful and wealthy and militarily capable as the United States, there are lots of parts of the world and lots of people that the United States does not and cannot help.
Yeah. Dr. Bell, thank you, sir. You gave us more time than we asked for. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.